Welcome to our celebration for the third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday. You might remember that Gaudete is Latin for rejoice, and we are reminded in our readings today to rejoice. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion, screams Zephaniah in our first reading. Sing joyfully, O Jerusalem. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. And in our second reading today from St. Paul to the Philippians, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. So today takes on a different look and feel in our Advent journey. I hope that you notice that Father Matt and I have on rose-colored vestments instead of purple or violet. And this week we light the rose-colored candle on the Advent wreath. So what gives? Why is this day different from the others? Well, we all know that Advent is a time of preparation for the coming of our Lord at Christmas. And the first 2 weeks are all about expectation and anticipation for the coming of Jesus. But they also have a distinctly penitential flavor to them. During these first 2 weeks, we took an introspective look into our spiritual lives to clean up the house of our souls, so to speak, in preparation for the most important guest of all this Christmas, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But today, the mood changes in the life of the church, and hopefully in ours as well. We still have that feeling of anticipation and expectation as Christmas approaches. In fact, for most of us, it usually intensifies the closer we get to Christmas. But instead of that somber, introspective, penitential feeling that we have nurtured thus far, today we transition into a joyful expectation for the coming of Jesus. And we have lots of reasons to rejoice. The church tells us to rejoice in the anticipation and expectation of the coming of the King of Kings. Rejoice in the saving work that God did 2,000 years ago. Rejoice in the reason for the season, that God did become man. God did suffer and die for us. God himself did save us from our sins. Rejoice that because of what God did 2,000 years ago, we have the opportunity to spend all eternity in the limitless joy of heaven when we die. Rejoice that Christ left us his church to guide us and help us on our journey through this complex and at times evil world that we live in. Rejoice that Christ gave us the sacraments to give us sanctifying grace to sustain us and even a sharing in his own divine life in the Holy Eucharist. Rejoice that as we enter more deeply into the love that God has for each of us, the more joy we will feel in our lives, regardless of the circumstances. And rejoice that Jesus will come back again in glory and power to rule his kingdom. And it's that last one that always gets me, living in anticipation of Christ's return. It's throughout all the Gospels, be ready for the coming of the bridegroom, be prepared, you don't know the hour of the day, etc. But you see, I don't see any difference between Christ's second coming at the end of time and his coming this Christmas 9 days from now. First of all, Christmas is the perfect time to invite Jesus to come. To come into our lives in a new and different way than ever before. Just as he was born on that day so long ago, we can invite him to be born in us again in some new way this Christmas. We can see a deeper, more committed relationship with him. We can try to more completely make Jesus the Lord of our lives, the King of our hearts, the first priority of our existence and our reason for being. Secondly, if we do look at the end time in the Gospels, Jesus tells us that we are in the last days, and we should not wait to start bringing about the coming of his kingdom in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our community, in our country, and in the world. For the longest time, Catholics focused on their relationship with God as a highly personal, intimate relationship contained within ourselves and scarcely touching the outside world. But Vatican II changed all that. Vatican II reminded us that we, as Catholic Christians, are not of the world, but we are in the world. And we have the opportunity every single day to make the coming of God's kingdom more and more of a reality. There is an old poem about us being God's hands and his feet, and I like that analogy. God sometimes acts directly in the lives of people, but more often than not, he uses us, if we let him, to be his hands and his feet in accomplishing his purposes. And it is no secret to any of us that the world needs to reject the kingdom of Satan and come into the kingdom of God right now. Finally, the third reason I see the second coming of Jesus in Christmas is that Christ comes every single day. At every Mass in the Holy Eucharist, every time a priest starts that Eucharistic prayer, myriads of angels gather around the altar in that same spirit of expectation and anticipation we feel during Advent. Only they're not waiting for Christmas. They are waiting for Jesus to come through the miracle of the Holy Eucharist, for that bread and wine to become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus himself. Even though they see him face to face every moment of every day, they are still drawn irresistibly to that miracle of the Holy Eucharist. And all we have to do to make him come into our lives is to believe in him, to adore him, to love him, to make him our own. This is such a great day to rejoice in the good news of the approaching feast of Christmas, not for all the reasons that the world would give, but rather for the one reason, that Jesus really is truly the reason for the season.